are listening to WWBC Coco, Merritt Island, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI Coco, Rockledge, 94.7 FM, W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, Indy Atlantic, Indian Harbor Beach, Satellite Beach, 100.7 FM, and W260CL, Coco, 99.9 FM.
Amen, amen. Good morning and
good
praise
morning.
The Lord.
Yes.
This is Reverend Gloria Ross from New Life Assembly of God, and we are located at 774 North Apollo Boulevard, and that's in Melbourne, Florida. Our telephone number is 321-255-6999. And remember, if you do not have a home church, our doors are open every Sunday at 11 o'clock a.m. sharp. We are the church in the city with the city in its heart.
Amen.
Now we have Pastor Ross and Evangelist Copeland here to minister the word of God.
Praise God. Good morning. I'm here with Pastor Ross and Pastor Gloria at New Life Assemblies of God Church. And I thank God that this morning was ordained. This was predestined by God. We're going to be talking this morning on five signs that follow believers. Now, we're supposed to do the same thing Jesus did. And guess what? If you really love the Lord, you want to do just what Jesus did. I read the first one. It says, cast out devils. That's the first sign that God said we was going to do. And I just want you to turn to, if you have your Bibles, could you please turn to Mark, the 16th chapter. We're going to read verses 17 through 20, and then we'll go on with the word this morning. It says, I'll let Pastor Gloria read that.
Okay. It says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned.
Mm-hmm.
And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues.
Yes.
They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover.
Amen. Read 19:22.
So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth, the disciples, and preached everywhere, like we're supposed to do. And the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen.
What do you have to say about that, Pastor? Verse.
Well, first of all, greet you out there in Radio Land. The whole thing is that these are supernatural signs which not can be devised by the strength of man.
Amen.
Only through by the power of the Holy Spirit. And our resting place is really in Christ. And Christ is the one that empowers us. Because the scripture emphatically says, in my name.
Yes, Pastor.
It's not in the pastor's name, nor is in the evangelist or the minister name or even the denominational name.
Go ahead, Pastor.
What it says is that in my name shall you cast out devils. And this is the most important thing here. Whatever we do all in the name of the Lord Jesus
Christ.
Praise
God, Pastor.
So in my name shall they cast out devils. That means demonic influences, forces that are in the lives of people. And this is written really to the body of Christ.
Yes.
Everyone that is suffering from whatever debilitating health or that's been caused by demonic influences, which they've allowed to get in or to come into their lives, we as children of God have the relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, has the power to exercise the things that we're reading here, if you believe in his name. He never said that is for the bishop or that is for the ministers. It's for those who believe.
Yes, Pastor.
So if you are a believer, these signs should be following you.
Go ahead, Pastor.
Praise God. These signs should be following you. You say, in my name, you shall cast out devils. That's using the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is power, and all power has been given unto that name.
Amen.
The name of Jesus. That's why it's so important that we understand that everything is going to bow down to the name of Jesus. Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
Amen.
So
Pastor,
every force that we've mentioned there in Mark 16 and verse 17, it tells us that it's not just saying, well, his name. That power has to be in his name, and it only resonates from the Lord Jesus Christ, because he's the one that gives us the supernatural power.
Go ahead, Pastor.
To complete the task.
Amen. Supernatural.
Supernatural power. All of that is supernatural.
Supernatural.
It's
Pastor.
Not anything that you're reading on a parchment and thinking that you can do it. This call and rest for a relationship with the Lord
Go
Jesus
ahead,
Christ.
Pastor.
And prayer is power, and power is prayer.
Praise
and
God.
And if you don't pray and have the relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, all you're doing is reading some words on a parchment. And if you believe the Lord Jesus Christ.
Go ahead, Pastor.
I said, believe the Lord Jesus Christ and what he has said. These signs shall follow them that believe.
Amen.
In my name, he said.
In my name.
They shall cast out devils and they shall speak with new tongues. And speaking with new tongues does not mean that you used to curse before or say all kinds of things there. No, no, no. That's not what he's talking about.
Go ahead, Pastor.
New tongues mean that he will give you a heavenly language, because it's a heavenly language that you'll be able to communicate with him. We all have a prayer language. We're just talking supernatural relationship, supernatural power that operates in what is being said here.
Amen.
So you won't stop cussing. Anybody can say, well, I have a will that I'll stop cussing. But I want to tell you, with this supernatural power here, he's speaking of new tongue, a tongue that will give you relationship with your heavenly Father.
Amen.
And also, evangelist, it says there that if you drink any deadly thing,
yes,
it shall not hurt you. In other words, if somebody try to slip some poison or try to poison you and you don't know anything about it, what happens is that God will protect you. We're talking about supernatural power here.
Yes.
Now, you may get sick, but you won't die. Amen. You may get sick, but you won't die, because he's speaking about somebody slipping something in a drink that you're taking or whatever it may be, or try to poison you. You won't die, because you, as the believer, has not tempted the Lord thy God. But when you have people that will tempt God and say, well, go ahead on and do that, the scripture says this, then that's erroneous teaching. So what it is that if you drink, it says, anything deadly, it shall not hurt you. But the most important part I like is that the last one, it says, and you shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. I'm telling you, these supernatural gifts should be following all of us as children of God, if we have the proper relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. All right, back to you, evangelist.
Pastor,
praise God.
Everything that's written in red is what Jesus said.
Amen.
And Jesus didn't double talk, Pastor.
No, he didn't.
Jesus said what he meant and meant what he said. And the thing is, Pastor, everything that Jesus promised the believers, it shall come to pass.
Amen.
Because he spoke it, and his word that never goes out void, it accomplished that when I please, and it prospered the thing whereto we sent it. Now, as believers, Pastor, we should be doing the same thing that Jesus did. Because guess what? And these signs shall follow them that believe. Then the key, when you was talking about, Pastor, in my name, you got to believe in my name. Shall they cast out their devils? Pastor, the first sign Jesus was talking about was demonic powers.
Yes.
The principalities, the powers, the rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places. Jesus was talking right to Satan's kingdom, Pastor. And what he was saying, all you got to do is believe in my name.
Amen.
All you got to do is believe. He said, what I'm going to do first for you? I'm going to show you that I have given you power to cast out demons. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions.
You see, and the most important thing is that when we read that, and we see the word shall is futuristic.
Yes.
It doesn't mean that right then and there that would be going on. Because shall enables us to have some form of relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Future. You shall. And I tell you, when we use that word shall, it is futuristic. So it's most important, because I remember reading there in the 10th chapter of Luke there, you know.
You took
because
it from
first of all, the power of God had not fallen on all of the disciples, on the disciples there. And that way they had to get, because you can't do this thing in your own strength or
no,
try to do
no.
We've seen that as it was written in Acts 19 there, where the seven sons of Sceva, what they try to do, they don't have the power. They say, oh no, we cast you out in the name of Jesus, what Paul preached.
Yes.
You know, they had no relationship. This whole thing is relationship, and we must eventually, this is what we should be doing when we have a true relationship
with the
Lord Jesus Christ.
Master.
That's the relationship that we can't do anything independent of our Lord and Savior.
No, we can't, Pastor. That's the truth. We can't.
We depend on Him. So when the Lord led you to look at those super signs and wonders and so forth, those things are done by relationship. If you don't have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, you can those things will not be manifested in your life.
And if you think that you're the healer, Pastor, they sure won't be done in your life, Pastor.
Yeah, that is true, because none of us are the healer. But the healer resides on the inside of us, providing that we have a relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. When you lay hands on a person, it is not you. The person has to see Christ.
Amen.
Hand on
that's
you
correct,
in
Pastor.
Order to receive.
That is correct, Pastor.
I remember when I last week there, you know, limping around and so forth. You know, I lay hands, but what the whole thing is that what I have and the gift that God has given me, it's for somebody else. It's not for me.
Amen.
It's for somebody else. And somebody else's gift that God, supernatural gift is what I'm speaking of.
Yes.
What they have is for me. And the reason it is for me is because God wants me to exercise my faith in what somebody else is doing for me. The same way when I pray for someone else, God wants them to exercise their faith.
Amen. Yes, Pastor.
In what is being done, you know. So I tell you, it's a very important thing, and we need to have the relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's all about Jesus anyway.
Everything is about Jesus.
It's all about Jesus. So evangelists, when those super signs and wonders that was revealed to you by the Holy Spirit, you can explain those things to the people, you know.
Yeah.
You know, their power gifts and their all these other gifts been manifested that when Paul was talking to Church of Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 12, I think it was. I don't know where
the nine gifts of the Spirit,
yeah,
Pastor.
Where your gift, revelation God gave you to minister on. But these are the things. We move according to the Spirit of the living God.
Amen.
And what God is doing. And another thing, we don't go around boasting what we have, because we don't have anything. Everything that we have comes from God.
Comes from the Lamb.
That's right. Comes from God.
Amen.
That's why the scripture says that the treasures are hidden in earthen vessels.
Yes.
And we are earthen vessels. We are vessels that God has made a deposit in, providing that we have the relationship with Him, have received Him, and have the relationship with Him. Because he says the treasures are in earthen vessels, and the excellency of the power is not of us. So we must remember that. It's of God. The excellency of the power is not of us, it's of God. So I tell you, it's important that we rest in what the Lord Jesus Christ has done and what he's doing through us.
Amen.
Now, we know that when he was speaking to his disciples there, that's why the word shall, these signs shall follow them. Now, Amen. it could have been used, these signs will follow you who believe, but that's not what he said. He used the word shall, which is futuristic.
Yes.
Which means that there's an appointed time that we will have this ability, and it's only going to be coming through and by a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I remember reading in, see, there's a difference, though, evangelist, between the spoken word and then where the power actually be manifesting in us. Because in Matthew 10 there,
go
Jesus
ahead,
had a spoken word. He spoke over the disciples.
Yes.
And he told them what they should do. And we can do the same thing with the spoken word, because God has blessed us to take his word, and but it's actually to the Jews. That's what he was telling there. He says, don't go by way of Samaria. You go to the lost house of the tribe of Israel. So what happens, he was speaking to the Jews there with spoken word. We have the power of God operating in us, because Jesus said that he would pray to the Father. Remember we were talking about that? That he would pray to the Father, that he would send another comforter.
Just return to it, Pastor.
Amen.
Yes, Pastor. You right.
That he would pray to the Father that he would send another comforter, which will be with us and abide in us forever. So we have that power in us now. I don't know why the churches are not using that extraordinary supernatural power that's been given to us. Maybe they don't have the relationship that they should. There could be a reason. I don't know. I am not here behind the radio broadcast here to castigate anyone, because I don't know the lives of anyone but myself. But the point is that our faith must be in Jesus.
Amen.
And those supernatural powers, Apostle Paul, God used him to Amen. Delineate all those things so that we could see it. But he never forgot to tell us that we have to be in Christ.
Amen.
Isn't that something?
Amen.
In Christ. So
Amen.
what other supernatural things that you want to speak of? Because the word actually is supernatural.
It is. It's supernatural, Pastor, not from the natural.
And the devil's not going to run from you because you're yelling out some words.
No, Pastor.
He'll read some name from
He'll
some paper.
He'll run from you when he see the Christ in you that know him, Pastor.
Yes. And he recognized the power.
Yes.
That's why in Acts 19, he said, well, Paul I know, and Jesus I know, but who are you? So in other words, he didn't recognize the authority that was coming from the seven sons of Sceva.
Amen.
You know? But they should be able to recognize the power that's emanating from us with the relationship that we have with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You see, this thing is not just because you're reading something. Anybody can read that's been educated.
Yes.
You take a man that go to college or whatever it is, and they read what the scripture says, but can they exhibit the dynamics and the supernatural power that
the interpretation? Yes,
no,
right.
It's not going to happen.
It's not.
It's not going to happen. You quoted a verse of scripture this morning on the way to the station here. You said it was 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 14. You said, well, the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit.
Amen.
For it's foolishness unto him.
Yes.
And neither can he know, because they are spiritually discerned. We need the power of God.
Yes,
and
we
this
do,
is
Pastor.
What's going on today. All of these intellectual dishonesty statements that's going forth in the churches, they are saying one thing from intellect, and definitely the second part of it is not true, because this is why the people are not receiving this supernatural power. So what else you have there, Evangelist, that you want to...
I could, Pastor Gloria, read Matthew, the 10th chapter, verse 7 and 8, verse...
Praise God, praise God.
Praise God.
Guess what? We can stay in these scriptures all day, Pastor, because I got a million of them.
Well, that is good. And
Matthew 10,
Yes, verse 7 and 8, Pastor.
We want to go from faith to faith and from glory, glory to glory. Glory, you know?
Yes, Pastor.
And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand.
Amen.
Heal the sick.
Yes.
Cleanse the lepers.
Yes.
Raise the dead.
Yes.
Cast out devils.
Yes.
Freely you have received, freely give.
Amen. That's what Jesus said, Pastor.
Yes.
Listen, but Jesus wasn't tripping over his tongue, Pastor. He was in control of his tongue because life and death was in his tongue, Pastor. And then we go over to Pastor.
Well, before we finish that, let's go on down there because he is speaking to a specific group of people there. You know, you want to read a little further there. I don't know if your notes were taking you down a little further there because he said...
Provide neither gold nor silver nor brass in your purses.
Yes.
Nor scrip for your journey.
Yeah.
Neither two coats, neither shoes, nor yet staves for the workman is worthy of his meat.
Yes, ma'am.
So he's speaking and he's telling you that that's a spoken word there. See,
yes,
that's a spoken word. And what did he say? Did he tell them don't go by way of...
And into whatsoever city or town you shall enter, inquire who in it is worthy, and thereby to you go thence.
Yes.
And when you come into a house, salute it. And if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it.
Amen.
But if it be not worthy, let your peace return to you.
Amen.
That's why it's so important that when we're reading, we are reading, well, who's talking, number one, and second of all, who he's talking to, and number two, and number three is what is he saying to them that he's speaking to. So this gives us clarity concerning what, just like I had quoted moments ago in Matthew 10 there, where he was telling them, you know, don't go by way of the Gentiles.
Yes.
He got a time for that.
Yes.
Yes. You want to read it?
It says, these 12 Jesus sent forth and command them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles.
Right.
And into any city of the Samaritans, enter ye not.
Amen. Right.
There's a time for that. There's a time for that, that he wanted them to go in, you know, in there to minister. But evidently he didn't, he used Apostle Paul for that grace to go there because he was speaking to the Jews there, and the Jewish people has to come under the understanding of who he is, so forth. I don't want to elongate whatever it is we're talking about, but the matter of it is that Jesus is speaking.
Yes, he is.
And it's a spoken word, and then you have the living word.
Yes.
You see, you have the Logos, and then you have the Rhema.
Yes, you Pastor. See?
So the Logos, anybody can read it.
That's right.
You know, anybody can read the Logos. You know, because it's just a written word.
Yes.
Well, then when you get a Rhema word, it, you know.
From the Spirit of God.
Yes, it is. And this is why we can go in there and we can talk to people about the goodness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And
that's what we're talking, Pastor, the goodness of the Lord Jesus Christ.
And the healing power that he has given unto us as children of God.
Amen.
Yeah. So those super signs and wonders that you're referring to, Evangelist, coming from a relationship.
That's correct, Pastor. You got to know him.
Yeah, amen.
The person, Pastor.
Yes.
Not what somebody tell you about. It's one thing about that you're in the know, Pastor.
Yes.
Once you know him.
Amen.
Nobody can turn you away from him, Pastor.
That's right.
Because you got that relationship. Relationship brings fellowship.
Yes.
And when you have fellowship, Pastor, guess what? You know when you walk out that door with Jesus, look for things to happen, Pastor.
Amen.
Because you know that you know. You're in the know, Pastor. Paul said, I'm fully persuaded in whom I believe.
Amen.
Fully.
Fully persuaded.
You fall off that mule too, Pastor. Let God talk to you.
Yeah. When you're fully persuaded, there's no one else that's able to do anything.
Nobody can talk you out of it.
And dissuade you from believing what you're saying.
Pastor.
fully persuaded.
Paul,
I pray that everybody in the body of Christ that have received the Lord Jesus Christ truthfully will be fully persuaded and not allow all these other distractions that the enemy has placed out there to take your faith or your mind away from being fully persuaded.
Amen.
Because the word fully persuaded means that you are fully persuaded. And that you are not going to allow anything to dissuade you from believing what you're fully persuaded about.
Amen.
Amen.
The word says you won't be double-minded either, Pastor. Up Amen. 1 minute and down the next minute, Pastor. Praise you're going to be God. Fully grounded in the word of truth. Pastor, when we get into this word, first thing we should do before we even read the word is close our eyes, fold our hands, humble ourselves, confess our sins, and ask God, Holy Spirit, give me your wisdom, your knowledge, your understanding. Because guess what? We can't understand the word without the King. Jesus opened Psalm 119, verse 18. Open thou my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. You can't see without the Holy Spirit showing it to you, Pastor.
And since you mentioned that, I want, Minister Gregory, would you just go to Psalms 146 and verse 8 and 9.
Go ahead, Pastor.
And because there are people out here that are spiritually blind, and then there are folks that are actually blind, you know. But the most important thing is that it's all under the old covenant. But we have to keep. I like to say what's for us today, and then what is for the Jews, because you know we kind of like bring people, you know, go from law to grace and grace to law, you know, and it can be kind of confusing, you know, because if you're asking for orange juice today and then I give you water tomorrow, listen, you want orange juice. So the whole thing is that we have to be careful. We are actually under grace now.
Yes.
But we just, and that's why I say for the sake of using Old Testament scriptures, it's nothing wrong with it. It's still the word of God.
Yes, Pastor.
But we have a better covenant today because Hebrews 13 and 8 said Jesus is the same
yesterday,
today, and forever.
Amen, Pastor.
So I just want to use this since you mentioned about the blind. Would you read Isaiah 46 and verse 8 before we come to take our break here for a moment?
The Lord opened the eyes of the blind.
Yes, he does.
The Lord raised them that are bowed down.
Right.
The Lord loveth the righteous.
Amen. So that's what he does, his eyes. He opens up the eyes of the blind. There are people that are spiritually blind as well as naturally blind.
Yes.
But we look at the covenant. But that's on an old covenant. Our grace starts from Romans.
Yes.
Paul is the apostle. Well, we'll come back and talk about that after the station break. We just stay Amen. Tuned out there, radio listeners, for station break. We'll be right back.
Yes.
You're listening to WWBC, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Coco, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, and Palm Bay, 100.7 FM.
All right, we're back from the break there. I wanted to say that the grace. Why did not God use Peter and all the other 12 to bring forth grace? He did not use that.
No, he didn't.
Grace came through Jesus Christ, but he taught Apostle Paul.
Yes.
Whatever it was hidden unto that present time that he knocked Paul off his horse and taught him in that in Arabia there. Because Paul, he could not, well, matter of fact, he did. He went to Peter those and he was telling them about grace up to a point where they couldn't receive it because what it is, they were under the law. And we need to be careful too in terms of bringing people under the law. There's a teaching going out there now, and I'm not trying to castigate anyone, but I just want to enlighten you that there's ministers that are taking people back under Hebraic law, having you to wear a yarmulke and prayer shawls and so forth. That is not for us. That is for the Jewish people. And yes, all you have to do is search the scriptures. So our grace and what is for us today is from Romans, the book of Romans, to the book of Philemon. Not that we cannot use the other things that Peter and so forth were using, but the thing of it is that what's for us is from Romans to Philemon. Many people don't read or know about Philemon, but that's where it is, the Philemon. Now, we also use from Revelation John. But John's whole purpose was to deal with Jacob's trouble so that the tribulation period, so that they can bring Israel back to God, because Israel left God. They chose the wrong another man as the Messiah, which he was not the Messiah. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Messiah. So when they accepted him and came back, they had to realize that they had made a mistake, because the Antichrist, the false Trinity, fooled them. He's deceiving people today. But we are speaking of supernatural signs.
Yes.
And allowing the signs of God to be demonstrated in our lives. And the Holy Spirit is the teacher. He will guide and lead us all. He will guide and lead us all into truth. Once we have the Spirit of the living God, he will guide and lead us. And I don't want to get into some other teaching there, but the point is that, evangelist, you have been given by God these supernatural gifts.
Amen, Pastor.
And there's no problem for you to enlighten all the radio listeners out there concerning how these gifts are working or operating in their lives, because it's not so much about, I can read them on the paper and that's what it says.
Yes.
No, there has to be a demonstration.
Amen.
And Apostle Paul said that as well. He said, I didn't come to you with enticing words of men's wisdom.
Amen.
But I came to you in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Why isn't this power demonstrated? I asked the question.
Amen.
Why isn't this power demonstrated in all of our lives today? If we have a relationship, Jesus will move. Anybody can stand up behind a pulpit and recite what's written.
Yes. But do like they believe what is written, Pastor?
Yes. But like you said, demonstrate it.
Demonstration, Pastor.
So you want to,
Well, since you brought up that scripture, Pastor, 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, 1 through 5, I'm going to get Pastor Glory to read that.
Amen.
1 Corinthians.
Second chapter, verse 1 through 5.
First Corinthians 2, mm-hmm. 1 to 5.
Mm-hmm.
And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or wisdom, declaring unto the testimony of God.
Mm-hmm.
For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified.
Yes.
And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling.
Mm-hmm.
And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in wisdom of men, but in the power of God.
Go ahead, Pastor. You elaborate on that.
It's that in the power of God. We depend on the Lord Jesus Christ for everything that has taken place. This is why I'm so thankful that the Lord Jesus Christ, with my faith in him and he alone, I depend upon him.
Yes, Pastor.
Although there are other external activities that take place in the physical man, but my faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ, who is Spirit. So what happened is that there are times when things come up against you, the first outset that one would want to do is to deal with it on their own.
Yes.
But I want to tell you something. It's so important. If we look at what the Word of God says, and I'm going to take you to a verse of Scripture that I spoke of on Sunday in 2 Corinthians 11, when Apostle Paul was telling the church of Corinth that they bear with him in his folly. Well, he has a jealous God. Jealousy. Yeah. How did he say that he was a godly jealous?
Jealousy.
I'll read it.
Said, well, read it.
Would to God you could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me, for I am jealous over you with godly jealousy.
Mm-hmm.
For I espouse you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, mm-hmm. so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
What has happened is the Apostle Paul was explicitly clear concerning, he said, I've espoused you, I've married you to one husband.
Yes.
This is from a spiritual standpoint. You've been married to one husband. And that husband meets all of your need. But when you move your faith from that one husband who is the Lord Jesus Christ and put it on something else,
yes.
to try to get further satisfaction, then you have, in essence, committed spiritual adultery. And this is what's going on in the churches today. What is happening is that they are confessing Christ. They are saying, yeah, well, I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, but then they run to something else or some other source to try to meet their need. Now, this is from a spiritual standpoint. Now, to contrast this, just take for a moment a man and his wife. You married to your husband naturally, and he is supposed to meet your need. His body is your body, and your body is his body.
Yes.
So whatever need is supposed to come about, it's between the two of you. So what happened is that if you abandon, in the natural, now, if you abandon your husband and go look for some, whatever it is that you're desiring from somebody else and get involved, you have literally committed spiritual adultery. Jesus also said in Matthew 19, he talked about this very same thing. When a man looks upon a woman to lust after her, he has committed adultery in his heart already. These are things that the church is not really looking at. Jesus is the only one that meets all of our need. He is the need meter.
Yes.
No one else. He is the need meter. Now, I'm not saying that if he directs you to go some other place, that's one thing. But what I'm saying is that our faith and our hope and our trust, our dependency, and everything else that we need is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if he doesn't do it, you don't need to have it done.
Amen.
Let Jesus do it. So this is what Paul was saying here. That's why he says that just as Eve beguiled, by the serpent beguiled Eve in the garden there, if she had listened to her husband instead of going to some other source to try to get knowledge or to become wise or listen to the lies that the serpent was speaking, the problem wouldn't be today. But nobody caught God by surprise, because God knew exactly what was going to happen.
Amen.
In the
Amen.
Counsel of God from the beginning of time. Otherwise, he would not have sent the Lord Jesus Christ. But the most important thing is that she should have listened to her husband. And her husband violated because of her. So the thing of it is that it works both ways, but the most important thing is that our faith must be in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And only in Christ. And whatever need that we have, we come to Jesus. We don't come to anyone else. We come to the Lord Jesus Christ. We look to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one that has done it all for us all at the cross of Calvary. And everything took place. Even the gifts that evangelists that you were speaking of. Listen, without Calvary, there is no gifts of the Spirit.
Pastor, without Calvary, you wouldn't even think about no gifts, Pastor.
Amen. And without Calvary, there is nothing.
Amen.
Nothing at all. So what happened is that he had to die, and he died. And all of this was defined in the counsel of God all a long time before the earth ever was situated, should
Amen.
I say.
Amen.
Before the foundation of the world, put it in that way. Before the world ever came into existence, all this was discussed. So it never caught God by surprise. But what Paul is saying, and it's so important, that if you have a need, you look to Jesus.
And he'll meet all your needs. Yes.
And he will meet all your needs.
He'll meet all your needs.
He's the one that will give you the Holy Spirit.
Oh, you know, you can't get no Holy Spirit without Jesus.
That is exactly right. That's what John said in Matthew 3 in verse, I think it's 11 or somewhere around there. He said that this is John speaking. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but there's one that's coming after me who was preferred before me,
yes,
whose shoes I'm not worthy to lay.
Amen.
He, talking about Jesus, shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire,
yes,
whose fan is in his hand,
yes,
who will thoroughly purge the floor, take his wheat and put it into his garner,
yes,
and burn the chaff with unquenchable fire. Now that is what was being said there. Jesus is the one. We look to Jesus for the baptism in the Holy Ghost.
Oh, go ahead, Pastor.
That's what we. I don't want to take over what you had to say, there, brother.
Because I'm enjoying everything.
But it is true. We look to Jesus for the. He's the baptizer.
Amen.
No man can baptize you, even if you lay hands on somebody. It's the Spirit of God on the inside of that individual that's
Pastor.
Praying for you to
that's
be baptized
correct,
in the Holy Spirit. The whole church needs to be baptized. Praise God. But anyway, these gifts are operated only through and by our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Anybody got anything else to say? Because I tell you, it is wonderful when we depend totally on Jesus.
Amen. Do you
only
have anything to say, Pat?
What? Why would I depend on somebody else? There's nobody else that's done anything for me. Mama can't save me.
Amen.
Daddy can't save me.
Nobody can save you but Jesus Christ.
That's right. He is the Savior.
Our children can't save us.
That's
Pastor.
Right.
Our grandchildren can't save us. Only one that can save us is Jesus Christ himself.
Pastor. So once he saved me, then my allegiance is to him.
Amen.
And only him. Whatever I need.
Amen.
And I tell you out there in Radio Land is that Jesus is all I need. Now, I don't know what else you need, but I'm saying Jesus is all I need because he is the one that provides everything for us all. We do in the flesh veer off and we try to get help from other sources, but our faith is not in the other sources, the other resources, should I say, that's being applied.
Amen. Amen.
We all have challenges and we look to other things. But first of all, our faith, matter of fact, I had a young lady to tell me, I don't want to take over the program, I had a young lady tell me. She said, "Well, I'm not gonna take medicine because for high blood pressure. I'm not gonna have the doctors to do this because it's that means I'm weak in faith. That is not weak in faith. Your faith is in Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
Your faith is not in the medicine. Your faith is in Jesus.
Praise God.
And when you go to the doctor, all he does is deal with the physical man, because I've never heard anyone say, I'm going to the doctor for a spiritual.
Never.
No, you go to the doctor so he knows your flesh up to a certain point.
That's right.
But still, you go to Jesus.
Pastor.
You go to Jesus. He's the one that meets all of our needs.
Amen.
Amen. And the scripture tells us that. He's the need meter.
Amen.
I shall meet all your need. That's what he said. Whatever it is that you need, all you need. What does all mean, evangelist?
All, Pastor.
It means all. Praise God. All
my God
your
shall
need.
Supply all my need according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Pastor.
So we that are in Christ Jesus, the need meter is Jesus.
Amen.
Glory to God. Hallelujah.
You better keep your eyes on the King, Pastor.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right. Amen. Because he never said anything about us looking for anybody else but him.
Nobody but the King.
That's right. Now, in Hebrew, you want to read this verse of scripture, Hebrew 11 there, praise God, where the book of Hebrews, I want to clarify, was written to the Jews, Hebrews, because they had the Judaizers trying to come and change what was happening and saying that, well, you in order for you to be saved, you got to keep the law of Moses and be circumcised. See, this is the stuff that goes on. And you have people today that are being told certain things. We must put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ if we have received him, and let him teach us through the power of the Holy Spirit. He is the teacher. The Holy Spirit is the teacher.
Yes, he is.
Amen. He's the teacher. And in Hebrew 12, verse 2 and 3 mm-hmm. tells us who we are to look to.
It mm-hmm. says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith.
That's right.
Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God.
Because and keep in mind, this is written to the Jewish people, the Hebrews.
Yes.
You know? But we can use it because it's true. We're looking to Jesus.
Amen.
We're not looking to anybody else. You have the church today out here, they looking for the Antichrist. Well, I want to tell you, I'm not looking for no Antichrist.
Amen.
I don't want to be here when the Antichrist comes. So I'm not looking for him. And they're looking for all these things.
Yes.
Why aren't we looking for Jesus?
That's right.
Who is the author and finisher of our faith. He is the one. He started the faith. Amen. He's the author. He started the faith.
Finished.
So he's the finisher. Jesus finishes what he's doing.
Yes.
He finishes. Evangelist, I know in these last minutes here, you know about these gifts of the Holy Spirit. You discern these gifts. You know what's in operation when people are ministering.
Yes.
You see what gifts that's being manifested,
yes, yes.
That God has blessed. So I want you, if you have the outline there or whatever it is that the Lord has used you to share with the radio listeners out there, because
I'm gonna just go over the 9 gifts of the Spirit.
Yes, yes. Uh-huh. Praise God.
People need to understand these gifts were not just. The Holy Spirit was not just given just to be given.
Right.
He's the power of God in the earth today.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
He's over everything.
Amen.
So I'm gonna read what this says, and I'm just gonna go to the classification and definitions.
Mm-hmm.
The gifts fall into 3 natural divisions. Mm-hmm. One is gifts of revelation,
Amen.
Which is the mind gifts. That's the word of wisdom.
Yes.
This is the supernatural revelation or insight into the divine will and purpose, showing how to solve any problem that may arise. I got plenty of scriptures for them, but I'm not going to give it to you another time. He says, 2, the word of knowledge. This is supernatural revelation or divine knowledge or insight into the divine will or plan and also the plans of others that man could not know of himself. And 3, discerning of spirits. This is supernatural. Everything about these gifts is supernatural.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
This is supernatural revelation or insight into the realm of spirits to detect them and their plans and to read the minds of men. And the second one is gifts of inspiration. These are your vocal gifts. One is prophecy. This is a supernatural utterance in the native tongue. It is a miracle of divine utterance, not conceived by human thought or reasoning. It includes speaking unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort. It says in the second one, it divine diverse kinds of tongues. This is supernatural utterance and other languages which are not known to the speaker. These are all done by the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And then it says 3, the interpretation of tongues. These are your vocal gifts now. This is simply supernatural ability to interpret in the native tongue what is uttered in other languages not known by the one who interprets by the Spirit. When the Holy Spirit gives you the gift of tongues that he'll take control of your vocal cords, it's not you that's doing it, it's the Christ in you that's doing it. Somebody in the room could interpret what you said in tongues and interpret it in English. And if there's no interpreter, God will use you to speak in tongues, and he'll use you to interpret the tongue.
Praise God. And Amen. all this is done by
the Spirit of God, supernaturally, Pastor.
Supernaturally, the Spirit of God. Amen.
Now I'm getting to the last 3. It's the gifts of power. These are the working gifts. Faith. This is supernatural ability to believe God without human doubt, unbelief, and reasoning. All right. 2, the gifts of healing. This is supernatural power to heal all manner of sickness without human aid or medicine. That's the gifts of healing. The last one is the working of miracles. This is supernatural power to intervene in the ordinary course of nature and to counteract natural laws if necessary. All of these are done by the Spirit of God, Pastor.
Amen. Amen.
You can't do this but from your head knowledge.
No.
No, this has come from the Holy Ghost. Jesus said, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he'll reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. A sin because they believe not on me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. A judgment because the prince of this world has been judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. How be it when he, the Spirit of truth, is come? He will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you, all things that the Father hath of mine. Therefore, said I, he shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you."
You see, Jesus loves his body. And the thing, he would not leave us here ill-equipped. In other words, he called you to do things, but yet you can't do it because you don't have the power to do it.
That's
if you
correct,
had the
Brown.
Power in the natural to do it, then he would not have spoken unto us about these supernatural gifts.
Thank you, Pastor.
This is what we need. Why aren't these signs being demonstrated in the body of Christ? Why aren't they, when people come in sick and they leave out sick? I mean, the church is... The local
station,
church.
Pastor. And guess what you just said, Pastor? If we were doing what Jesus said, the churches would be overflowing, Pastor.
Overflowing, because people would not be running after some humdrum, mundane way of speaking. Somebody using intellectual dishonesty. When I say intellectual dishonesty, I'm speaking of people, their intellectual, but they're saying things that are not truth.
Amen.
And that is not right. You know, we are to speak the truth. The power of the Holy Spirit is on the inside of us. If he has not given it to us, we should not say it.
Amen.
And this is the thing, not to try to hoodwink anybody, so to speak. I don't like to use the word deceive, because we do deceive ourselves when we start saying things that's not right. And the deceiver is no one but Satan. What we have to do is to trust the Lord Jesus Christ and all those gifts, minister, evangelists that you have mentioned too, supernatural gifts
supernatural
that only come
power.
From the power of God.
from God himself. Nobody can take his glory.
The power of God must be demonstrated in our lives,
Pastor,
in all of our lives.
Pastor, demonstrated in all our lives that follow Christ.
Amen. Demonstrative.
Yes.
Where people will see, well, listen, and this is what's going to bring the sinner to his knees and get saved, really,
yeah,
to
Pastor.
Be honest with you.
Yeah,
because
Pastor.
They've seen so much religion until they're tired of religion. That's why some people say, well, I don't believe in organized religion. No, listen, this thing is not organized religion. This is the power of God. And when you are used by God as a child of God, as I spoke this morning to Minister Glory, I said, well, everybody that's standing behind a pulpit has not been called by God.
Many
are called, but few are sent.
Yes.
And the ones that are sent, they have the message. They have what God wanted them to say, because they speak not words of themselves. They exalt the risen Savior, the ascended Lord, the one that has done everything for us. That is who we are to listen to. We are to look. Matter of fact, you just mentioned, Mr. Glory, you read that. Looking is not a glance. Looking unto Jesus is perpetual, continuous. Looking to him who is the author and finisher of our faith.
Amen.
He gave it to us. He wants us to believe in him, and he wants us to use it. Glory to God. And he said that because this is what gave him the joy that was set before him, to endure the cross. He did it for us, glory to God. And we sit back and we find all kind of excuses and we say things and, well, you it doesn't take all of that. You don't have to pray that long. You don't have to get on your knees to pray. You don't have to do, all these are excuses.
Mm-hmm.
But God wants us to stay in connection with him. And he will place, identify himself through us and exemplify those gifts that he's given us to use for his body. Amen.
Amen.
Mr. Glory, you have something you want to say, because I tell you, this is a good subject, Evangelist, the Lord brought up.
Amen.
And gave to him in his heart there. Praise the Lord, because these gifts are needed. People standing around there in the churches here, yeah, how could you come in the church sick and go out sick? The church is a hospital.
That's where you're supposed to run to. You're supposed to run to the man or woman of God. Is any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church.
There it is. Church is a hospital.
Let them anoint you with oil, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick, Pastor.
And then who going to raise him up?
Jesus.
Jesus is going to raise him up. And if he's done anything,
it shall be forgiven him, but confess it, Pastor.
He shall be forgiven.
Praise God.
Because the Lord Jesus Christ is the one that forgives.
Amen.
Well, I just want everybody out there in radio land, we're not trying to doctrinalize you in terms of how we think or what we feel. We just want to tell you that the Lord Jesus Christ, you look to him.
Amen.
And only him.
Only
you don't glance at him. The scripture tells us when he was speaking to the Hebrews, he said, looking, keep your eyes on Jesus. Looking unto him who is the author and finisher of your faith.
Amen.
He loves you. Mr. Glory, you have the, you want to offer an extension
here?
Praise
the Lord. Praise God. Open up your hearts.
1 minute.
Right now, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth,
mm-hmm,
the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart,
yes,
that God had raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved.
Yes.
For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord by faith shall be saved.
God bless you all out there. We thank God. We thank God for evangelism and the word that was given to him and Minister Gloria. And I pray you all out there in Radio Land that you keep your eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one that will keep you in perfect peace and give you every need that you have, that you desire. And if he doesn't give it to you, you do not need it.
Amen.
You've been listening to the Salvation and Deliverance Outreach, brought to you by New Life Assembly of God Church, located at 774 North Apollo Boulevard in Melbourne. Their number is 321-255-6999. You also can write New Life Assembly of God Church at Post Office Box 2303, Melbourne, Florida, 32902. Be with us again at the same time next week for another program, Salvation and Deliverance Radio Outreach.